Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
We're glad that you are on the Super Talk Mississippi Network stations across the state of Mississippi or online. It's the Super Talk Eagle Hour from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, Jeremy Graves, producer engineer today. We've got a great show for you, as always. We're going to talk to Southern Miss great Matt Wallner here in just a second, but this reminder that our first segment brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Dickey's has a complete array of different meat selections for you. Let the catering up to them, all those side dishes, too, that you get to choose from. Whether it's a small group or large group, Dickey's Barbecue Pit will take care of you. You will be satisfied, you'll be happy, and knowing that they are big supporters of Southern Miss and Southern Miss athletics. Matt Wallner joins us now, former Southern Miss Golden Eagle great, now with the Minnesota Twins. He's a native of Minnesota, and in all 3 years with the Twins, his number of hits have increased, his batting average has increased. A lot of things going well right now for Matt Wallner, and we're glad for him. Matt, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, when you take a look at your individual last season, you started the season, struggled a little bit, then they sent you down to work some things out, and then when they called you back up, things went a lot better. Tell us about the beginning of the season, what you worked through, and how it paid off for you there at the second half of the season.
Yeah, like I knew that mentally I was fine, and obviously struggling sucks, but it was, I just feel like my swing didn't feel the same, like my mobility or was lacking, and I couldn't get my swing off that I knew that I could in the past. So I was just trying to, when I went down and I struggle in spring training too, so it's not like it was just at the beginning of the season, it was all the way up until that point, but just went down and really just worked on my mobility and being able to move better. And right when I got then that going, that's when kind of everything turned around, and I never looked back from that point in the season on.
One of the things that college baseball players have always told us when making the transition into the bigs is that you really don't get a lot of coaching, so to speak, that they don't really tell you how they feel about how you're playing. You know, they don't talk a lot to the players and so on and so forth. So these tweaks that you make, are those primarily on you? How do you get through those?
I mean, I think it's just, it's your job, your profession, so you got to be the one to go out and seek help, and they're not going to come to you as much as they will in college, you know, when they're trying to, you know, it's not as much of a job. And so you just got to go out and seek help when you're struggling and kind of take it upon yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to get any better.
Now, one of the team goals, obviously, is to make it to the World Series. It looked like the Twins were pretty much a lock three quarters of the way through the season, and then struggled at the end and allowed my lowly Tigers to get into the playoffs. What, as a team, Matt, what happened to the Twins as you see it?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. It was definitely frustrating for everyone, but we just kind of didn't slug, and when we needed the pitchers to do their part, they didn't do that, and then when the pitchers needed the hitters to hit, we didn't do that. So it was just kind of bad combination going on, and we were just unfortunately did not take advantage of our position that we, you know, worked for all year and had. We're in a really good spot going into August and even September, and but yeah, that was kind of a shock for everyone how that one kind of panned out.
Dima, I think if everybody could play the White Sox every game, it would might help things a little bit.
How many games were there in the MLB season? 130 million, and then you just play them 130 million times.
Right,
Matt. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your time at Southern Miss. When you guys swept Mississippi State in that opening series, you were pitching, you were hitting. Do you remember that series? I mean, that was just such an incredible display of your talents.
Yeah, absolutely. That was fun. You know, being in Hattiesburg, that was special and. Just opening the season that way. You know, it's, I always loved hitting more than pitching, but closing out a game, there's nothing quite like that, and especially in front of that many fans, in front of, you know, a good opponent. And so, yeah, that was one of my favorite series of my time at Southern Miss.
What was your longest home run that you remember at Southern Miss? The one I remember is the one off the top of the scoreboard at LSU, but I don't know if you might have another one that's in that top of your head.
Yeah, that one has to be up there. I'm sure there were some other times that, you know, playing at kind of random places like FIU or something where the wind kind of blows a lot, that there's a couple long ones, but yeah, that one at LSU for sure has to be up there.
Matt, Minnesota's getting to be, we kind of joked about Minnesota, and I can say that because my sister lives up there, and she talks like that, has lived up there a long time. But
you don't talk like that.
No, I'm from Iowa, which is south, you know, of there a little bit. I don't know, there must be an accent line somewhere. But Minnesota's getting to be quite a recruiting hotbed for Southern Miss. The Ock boys have come down from Minnesota, you're from Minnesota. How much of that is a word of mouth from you and the Ocks of, hey, there's some guys up here you guys need to take a look at?
I just think, they're just starting to be better baseball up there. When I was in high school, there wasn't much travel ball, and kind of guys from Minnesota are starting to get exposed more. And I remember after my freshman year, I went to like the state college or the state high school baseball tournament, and I saw there's like three SEC schools there, and that had never happened ever. And I think just kind of when I went down to Southern Miss, like, not that I was the one who started, but that was kind of the time that about my senior year, junior year of high school, where like they started moving to recruiting up there, and I was just fortunate to find Southern Miss. And but yeah,
did you play hockey?
No, I wish I did, but I just played like pond hockey growing up, just with my friends. But I never played organized hockey.
That's almost
pond hockey. That's
almost
crazy.
That's almost sacrilege, isn't it? If being from Minnesota and not playing hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
The Fighting Sam Sklars would be upset. Matt, I wanted to ask about Tanner Hall is also in the Twins organization. I know he's in the minor leagues right now. Have you guys been able to connect at all, kind of with those Southern Miss roots, or have you, you know, kind of been separated from him since he is kind of working his way up to the bigs?
I don't know. I can't remember if I saw him in spring training, but I knew he was there, and I shot him a text and just kind of reached out to see if he needed anything. But I don't remember seeing him in person, but hopefully this next upcoming spring training I will be able to. But just I remember when I got drafted in high school, not that I was going to sign with the Twins, but I remember Dozier reaching out to me, and I'm no Brian Dozier saying that, but just have someone, you know, higher up than you in that organization, I think, to reach out is important. Have someone to know that, you know, you can talk to if you need something. So I try and do that a little bit, and
the last,
I can for them.
Last couple of minutes here with Matt Wallner. Now, last week you guys got together, a lot of you, at the Scott Berry Golf Tournament, which was a fundraiser for the Southern Miss Baseball Program. How would you describe the line of bull that was spewed by all you guys when you get together to play a round of golf like last week?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun just to see guys you haven't seen in a while. And you know, just talk to everyone, you know, other people that you never play around to golf with otherwise. So that's a really cool event, and just seeing so many people and just having conversations that you haven't had in a while. So, but yeah, there's definitely some BS spoken. But
is there anybody that's clearly the best golfer of all of you?
No, I mean, I'm sure there was in other groups. None of them was the best between me, Nick Sandlin, Travis Grill, and B.A. Volmuth, I'll tell you that.
So you guys didn't finish first is what you're telling us.
We did not finish first.
Okay. Well, Matt, we will be looking forward to the next season. Like I said, I'm always a Matt Wallner fan, and I like the Twins. You know, some other players from around the area have played in the Twins organization, and being from Minnesota and having my sister up there. But, you know, the Tigers are in that same division. So, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. Right? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess.
But hey, buddy, thanks a lot, and continued success, and we'll get you back on, hopefully, as you head out to spring training, maybe in February.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Matt Wallner, everybody, former Southern Miss baseball great now with the Minnesota Twins. You know, Demon, that's got to be a little bit frustrating because they were, I mean, by every playoff scenario, the Twins were going to be in.
Yeah.
And I mean, they the proverbial tank.
Yeah, it was tough, and just want to shout out to Jack Duggan and just say my apologies to him, and because he's a big Twins fan and a great guy over at the Southern Miss Athletics, and yeah, he wasn't too happy about all this. I'm not really a big Major League Baseball fan, if that makes sense. I don't really follow it like everybody else does, but I did notice that like the Twins were like on top of their league, right, and then they just fell off. So
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah,
is the Indians in that league too?
The Guardians. Yes,
can't say the Indians. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and they get canceled.
And they wound up winning. Yeah, they wound up winning. That division, but, and this was not a shot at Matt Wallner, because when you look at the numbers, particularly the last third of the season, Matt Wallner was one of the top producers for the Twins, so he did his part. It's just, you know, it's just a team sport. It's just one of the things that you have to deal with. Hey, still to come, the women's golf team had great success yesterday in hosting their own tournament. How successful? Well, they won it. We're going to talk with Coach Colton Cowan. We'll have news and notes and news from around the Sun Belt as well. And we're going to talk to one of the new sponsors of the Eagle Hour, all part of this Wednesday edition. We'll be back in just a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of our program brought to you by Campus Bookmart. And we've told you it's in the bright, and I mean bright, almost like it's battery operated, building across from the main campus at Southern Miss on Hardy Street. Your one-stop shop for all things Southern Miss. Anything that you can put a logo on, they probably have it for you there. Whether you want to spend $2 on a keychain, all the way up to a couple hundred bucks on a fire pit. Anything that's got Southern, seriously, they've got those that you can get too. And you can check them out online, campusbookmart.net, and they'll ship it right to your house. Kelly Santer and Dima Mixon, along with producer engineer Jeremy Graves, Bob Getty in Tahiti, enjoying.
Is he really?
No.
Okay.
No, he's actually working on his back porch as part of a staycation. And I just want to tell everybody on the Eagle Hour, this we will never try to sell you a Medicare supplement plan. So all the more reason to be listening to our show. On the phone with us now is successful coach of the Lady Eagle golf team, Colton Cowan. His ladies won their tournament yesterday. They came from second place to take the overall field. And any time, coach, you win a championship, it feels good. Congratulations to you. And let's talk about that. The Judson.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, at Hattiesburg Country Club. And you guys had to come from behind. I want to talk a little bit first about Louise Kyra, the freshman. Really playing some good golf. Let's just talk about how it did happen. How were you able to come from behind and pull this thing out?
I mean, just like anything else, it's just kind of one of those things with golf. You can't really play defense. You can't really try to prevent anybody from doing anything different. The only thing that we can really control is ourselves and our processes and keeping our expectations in the right spot. And after about halfway through that last round, Tarleton really didn't slow down. They weren't going to give it to us. We were going to have to go out there and earn it. And the ladies did a great job of really just staying present, staying one shot at a time, and just really just kind of playing where their feet are, taking for the challenge of the day, and ended up coming out on top.
I'll tell you what's got to, one of the things I would think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would have to make you feel good, is that it seems like every time you turn around with your Lady Eagle golf team, it's somebody else that's making headlines. I mean, you know, Anoka Ando was on the show earlier this year, but in this tournament, Louise Kivers, mentioned the freshman, Taylor Tribble out of Birmingham, the junior, and Elena Melich, who's from Spain, of all places, they're the ones that that secured it for you. It's a team effort, obviously, but talk about the play of those three, particularly yesterday.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I think the previous coach, Lucy Burke, did a fantastic job of just really bringing in some really good talent and just having a really good direction from as soon as I stepped in. And it's kind of one, just trying to provide each student-athlete for exactly what they need to be successful. And the interesting thing is, with all eight of our players, it looks different how we have to go about approaching it and how we have to talk to them and develop game plans for them. It looks a little bit different, and so it's cool seeing their hard work paying off, but also just kind of them buying into the systems and just getting to a point to where they're playing free, playing competitive. And it was one of those when you first take a job, you're like, okay, trying to understand what the talent level is, what the skill set is. And after that first week of practice, knowing if I did my job well and my assistant did our job well, that we could really make some headway and perform well. And you saw that throughout the entire fall. I think everyone had different highlights throughout the year. Everyone had some really good moments that we can use and develop from. And also we had some low points as well to continue to learn and develop on that end of it. But as far as the whole group effort, I think that's to be competitive in college golf, you need five or six. And you need five or six to be ready to go at any given time. And we take four low scores each round. And so the more competitive you have within your roster, the more competitive practice is going to be, and the better we're going to be for competition.
Man, it helps. It helps anytime you're going to win something. You got to have a little bit of luck, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. We've all kind of been the recipients of luck. But man, your ladies were making putts they weren't necessarily expected to make. I know you had a chip in for a birdie, which you never expect, you know, those things to happen. So a lot of things went right for you guys, but good for you, man.
Absolutely. The chip in on 16, if anyone's familiar with Hattiesburg Country Club, that pin was middle left, about four paces on. She was over there by that tree about probably 15, 20 yards left of that position. So you're just kind of, at that point in time, you're thinking, let's just get on the green, try to make a putt for par, accept bogey, and kind of move on. She was kind of stymied against the tree a little bit, and we walked up to it, and she looked at me. She's like, what are we going to do? I was like, this is trying to downplay it a little bit to make her not freak out about it. It's like, this is easy. Just be an athlete, scoot up close to it, kind of out and in, kind of like you're hitting the slice and laid in this portion. I think it should work out pretty well. She's like, okay, I got it. And she gets up there, executes it perfectly, lands exactly where we wanted it to, and then drips in. And that's basically when all the momentum shifted from kind of battling back and forth to us taking the lead. But no, you're right. I think the cool thing about competition and golf especially, sometimes it does take luck. Sometimes some things need to fall your way, and that's just the way it is. And we're not afraid to say that, but also on the flip side of it, they did a great job of staying present and taking on the challenge and the demands that it had to come out on top and not folding. And a lot of that comes back to them and how they've progressed over the past 2 months.
When I play golf, if I can just see the flag from where I lay, I feel like it's a good position. So you know, that's a lot better than I could ever do. Coach, this is the first win for you as the head coach at Southern Miss, and this is also the program's first win since winning the Hoover Invitational in the fall of 2022. What does that mean for this program just to get finally a victory? You know, you've been placing well, but you just finally got that victory. And then on top of that, it's at home. And that just is kind of an extra cherry on top to it.
Absolutely. Just kind of get that it's always one of the winning tournaments are it's difficult. We kind of talked about it. You have luck, and then depending on the competition as well. And so just kind of proving to ourselves and that we're capable of doing it, proving it to ourselves week in and week out that we have the capabilities of competing at an extremely high level, and just finally getting one to come out. I think it's a great way to end the fall, but also makes you hungry for more. It kind of lights that fire of like, if we're able to do this in the fall, give us a few months and let's see what we're going to be able to do for the spring. So it's reassurance on our end to making sure that we are doing the things that we need to on a day-to-day basis. And also it's reassurance on the ladies' side as well of just for them know what we're doing is not in vain. They're like, oh, we're just doing this, we're doing that, just because. But they're actually seeing fruit for the labor. They're seeing fruit for the discipline and all the hard work that they're putting in. So mainly, I think a lot of it's just a lot of momentum going into the off season and getting ready for the spring, and just to prove that Southern Miss can do it, that we as a program can compete and we can win. And I think from the home side of things, and I think what a lot of people, that you kind of have two different arguments on that side. You have some's like, oh, you're at home, like you know this golf course like back of your hand. But one thing that a lot of people kind of forget, it's not like basketball or football where you have home field advantage. You have a huge crowd. I believe it's almost more challenging playing at home because you have a lot of expectations, and you're going to hit golf shots that you've probably never hit before in practice. You're going to be put in situations that you may play this golf course for 5 years straight, but you're going to be in some new spots and new challenges. And if you don't have the proper mindset and the expectations of knowing that those challenges are going to kind of happen, you can get down on yourself really, really quickly. And so just coming into the home tournament, just being prepared for when things do go bad or having a good process to get out of it, and then finding a way to move on fast. And I think that's the other thing as well. You practice this place, and we're all guilty of it, where you go and step up on the first tee, and we're like, oh, we're going to shoot our lowest score possible. Then you play four holes, you bogey the first four, and now you're just kind of disengaged, and you're just kind of there for the rest of the time. And our players are guilty of that as well, so it's just making sure that we don't get disengaged, but we treat this like any other golf course. We treat this just like any other course that we go to. We still did a practice round. We still had team meetings. We still talked about how we wanted to go about and attack the golf course. And I think that really provided them with the best plan in place to go out and give us the best opportunity to succeed. And we ended up doing it.
Lady Eagle golf coach Colton Cowan. On the Lady Eagles golf victory yesterday at the Judson, which was actually hosted at the Hattiesburg Country Club. I love playing golf. I always thought that, like, if you could compare it to a school subject, it would be vocabulary, because every time I play golf, I learn another swear word from somebody. Colton, thanks so much. My continued success. We'll talk again soon.
All right. That sounds good. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank you, Colton Cowan, Lady Eagles golf coach. Still to come, Tracy Batson from Indibay Spring Water, one of the new sponsors on the Eagle Hour. But when we come back, Dima is under a stack of papers here. He's been looking at news and notes and things that we need to know from around the Sun Belt Conference. This Wednesday's Eagle Hour rolls on in a moment.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the third segment. You know, we've been talking about how it's a place where everybody knows your name and a place where you can watch all the games. All that is true. And the ice-cold Pabst Blue Ribbon, that also true. But we haven't been talking about the $10.95 Blue Plate Lunch. Now, that's a huge portion. And for big guys like me, I appreciate big portions. But that also includes your soft drink. Now, you hear so much about inflation and all this, which all that is true as well. But the plate lunches are still $10.95. that includes your drink. Because, you know, sometimes restaurants or places will, you know, $10.95 for the lunch, but then the drink is $7.
Yeah. I went to a certain place the other day. I'm not going to mention it because they're not a sponsor.
Right.
I'm learning. And I went to a certain place the other day. I ordered a regular salad, which was supposed to be a full, but it wasn't a full, and a drink. And it was $23. I was like, what is this?
Well, cheese.
There was more cheese than lettuce.
But cheese is expensive.
So there was more cheese than lettuce in the bowl.
Well, then you need to go to 4th Street.
You're yeah, there we go.
Gonna get your,
go get my catfish.
Going to get your money's worth there. And a shout out, too, to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Ask Bob Getty. He drives one. He only lets me and Dima look at it. Visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And, of course, if you can't listen to us daily, you can always download us. I never thought in my years of living I would ever use the phrase, you can download us, at Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube. Or you can just ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Dima,
I was going to say, Kelly, you could use that at Brewskis or something. You can download it.
Of course, they would say, well, I don't have a dump truck or I don't have a forklift, you know, something like that, some kind of fat joke.
The clearest problem with, you know, or like the clearest word in that sentence is downloading us, because nobody would actually just download Kelly. Like, just not happening. So you are doing it for us, not just for you.
Thank goodness for contracts. Something to be said for that. Big Sun Belt game last night, and I think that the Cajuns, by virtue of their win over Texas State last night in San Marcos, by the way, has definitely given the Cajuns pretty much now the road to the West. Is that the way it looks to you, Dima, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, they still have to play ULM, which is the other team that could bop in there, but now they do have the tiebreaker at Texas State. They do go on the road to UL Monroe. Last weekend of the season could get interesting. I don't think that's going to be as close of a game as people might think it's going to be, but you never know. You never thought you'd be saying that at the beginning of the season. But yeah, it feels like Louisiana's kind of back where they belong. They're 4-0 in conference. Now they Arkansas State's 3-1, and they play Louisiana next week. So that's a big game. It's in Louisiana, but Arkansas State plays Louisiana next week. But first, the Red Wolves have got to get past. I forget who they're playing this week. The Red Wolves are going to have to get past. They're on a bye. Okay, so the Red Wolves don't play this week. So they get a bye to prepare for Louisiana. And so that'll be a pretty big game for the West, because Arkansas State's very much in it. ULM's still very much in it. But Louisiana controls their own destiny, I think, is the point. But you can make the same argument about Arkansas State and ULM.
But from a consistency standpoint, I would argue that the Cajuns have been, of those teams that you mentioned, the Cajuns have been the most consistent from day one. Nothing they've done has been particularly sexy. Nothing has been necessarily headline worthy. All they do is win. You know, the Warhawks have put up all these numbers. Nobody expected them to do, but then they got, you know, they came down to earth going down to South Al and got clobbered, you know.
You're right, and I think they're the favorite. I think the point is that they haven't clinched it. They still play Arkansas State. They still play South Alabama, who has one loss, and they still control their own destiny. And then, obviously, like I mentioned, ULM. They do play Troy, and that should be a win. But they still play three of the top four teams in the West, still on their schedule. Three out of the next 4 weeks is against three out of the top four teams. That's not including themselves.
You know, and we've talked about how some of the Sun Belt games are being played, you know, on Tuesday nights, some of them on Thursday and Friday nights. The Eagles drew none of those. And I wonder, now there was, I think last year's game with the Cajuns was a Thursday night, if I recall. But Southern Miss hasn't gotten many of those games. Going into this season, you know, it was four games bye week, and then ending, you know, with four games. So the schedule seemed to sit up pretty well. But I wonder how that works on, you know.
I think it's random. They got the Tuesday game last year, and that's a game that Golden Eagles fans would just like to forget against South Alabama last season in Mobile.
And don't you really think, going back to that game, that's where, if there was a turn in the fortunes, shall we say, of Southern Miss, it was that South Al game that turned the program on its side.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely make that argument. I don't remember what the yardage disparity was that night, but I think it was something like, you know, 650 to not even 100, you know. So it was just an I was at that game. I mean, I was in the press box, and I think I just could not believe how bad that loss was. And you're right. It definitely felt like the turning point of the Will Hall era. You know, they did end up going and winning two more games that season, beating ULM and then Louisiana. They did beat Louisiana last season, and then they competed pretty well against Mississippi State. So they had a rebound towards the end of the season last season. But you're right, where that was like the what is going on here, and that's obviously that is when Will Hall changed that he's not going to be coach calling the plays anymore. They changed a lot on the defense. They changed a lot on the offense. Everything got changed after that game, which is understandable. And then this year, the same can be said for Jacksonville State, in my opinion.
And I have to say this. Last night, a game that was scheduled in Conference USA that was on ESPN that I caught glimpses of was Sam Houston State. They were at home against Louisiana Tech. Now, again, it's Conference USA, but and for the record, Sam Houston State won the game 9-3. It was the lowest winning output of any FBS program, I think, you know, in a long time. I don't remember what the statistic was, but 9 points to win. Dima, from what I saw, Sam Houston, one of the better teams in conference, that was a dreadful football game, and two teams that are not very good. You sit there and think, well, you know, these teams, a team from this conference deserves to go to the playoff, and maybe this team. But man, they just were not good. Either one of those teams, slow and Sam Houston State and Louisiana Tech.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I didn't watch the game, but I saw the score, and me and you were saying take the points with the Sam Houston State, and we ended up being wrong on that, unless you took the under. But yeah, no, it was bad. 9-3. I mean, what are we doing?
And they say schedule those games so that our conference can get exposure, but I would argue, do you really want exposure to show America how bad your team is?
Yeah. You know? I don't know. I want to get to news and notes, though.
Yeah, go ahead. Because, this is a Southern Miss show. Yeah,
so let's go. I want to talk about the leaderboard for that golf tournament.
Okay.
So we mentioned Taylor Tribble. She shot a 71, 73, 69, which all included to a 213. So she was second. Southern Miss had six other players in the top 15. So you had Luis Cuivers, Elena Milic, Alama Betteret, Momoko Ando, who we had on the show, Regina Nevet, and Jaquie Fields. All those players in the top 15. And then Fernanda Gorostiaga was placed at the 52 mark, which was kind of lower on the leaderboard.
Now, who was at the 52 mark?
I'm not repeating names. I've probably already butchered all of them. But
JC
I don't
wanna, Fields,
but
by
this,
the way.
You know, this is... Yeah, JC, yeah. Yeah. This is the number 52 placed score, 80, 80, 84. If I scored an 84 in golf, that would be, I would quit.
You'd be thrilled.
I would be thrilled. And that's like 50th place. Every time I read off golf stuff, I always just get so humbled how bad I am. But I want to mention soccer because they have a just ginormous game tomorrow night against ULM. This game will determine whether or not the Golden Eagles are going to be able to make the Sun Belt tournament. So they have to win to make the Sun Belt tournament. There is some tiebreaker scenarios, and I wanted to run through those really quickly. So they clinch a spot in the tournament if they win at ULM tomorrow night.
Okay, so it is at ULM.
It's at ULM. They get the spot if they win. They cannot reach the tournament with a loss. So now we've talked about ties so many times. So this is the scenario for the Golden Eagle Lady Eagles soccer team to get into the tournament if they tie against ULM. They would have to have Georgia Southern lose or tie at Texas State as well. So that is your tiebreaker scenario. So they get in just with the win outright, which is what they want, obviously. But they don't get in if they lose or if Georgia Southern does not beat or tie Texas State.
All right, so we need a flow chart almost.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Jerry Springer show as to who's related to who. You're old enough to remember Jerry Springer, aren't you?
No.
I'm calling you on that one, Dima. You are not so old that you do not remember the Jerry Springer show. But good luck to the soccer team. Look, anytime you're playing sports, you just want your destiny in your control, right? You have nobody to blame but yourself if you don't go out there and get the win. Even though the game is in Monroe, this is what they play for. And Coach Mo has always talked about playing these SEC teams before the regular season begins so that you're playing top competition iron sharpens iron, whatever cliche you want to use, so that you're ready to go for playoff time. So Lady Eagles soccer team against Louisiana Monroe, and that's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow on the program, Mike Frazier from JUCOWeekly.org will set the table for one of the final weekends. Actually, it is the final weekend of the MACCC Junior College Football schedule. And Cleveland Guardians reliever Nick Sandlin on the show tomorrow as well. That's Thursday's Eagle Hour, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tracy Batson from Indibay Springwater when the Eagle Hour continues.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Special shout out to DBAT Training Facility in Hattiesburg, proud sponsor of Southern Miss Athletics and this program, and Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of Southern Miss. You don't get beignets any fresher than at Mobay Beignet, because they don't even cook them or don't even cut them from the dough until fresh dough until you order them. So we encourage you to use both services at DBAT Training and Mobay Beignet Company. We want to welcome a new sponsor to the Eagle Hour, Indibay Springwater out of Wiggins, Mississippi. Tracy Batson joins us on the show today to tell us what makes Indibay Springwater different. And as we welcome you, Tracy, and thank you for your support of the program, there is historical significance about the name Indibay. Tell us about it. Let's start there.
Absolutely. This land, the spring, has been in our family since 1822. My husband, his name is Shep Batson, his seventh removed grandfather came over out of the Carolinas, stopped off in Georgia, and picked him up a wife and headed on down and settled at these springs in 1822. He named the area Inda, Mississippi. He got his mail out of what was Shieldsboro, Bay St. Louis now, once a month. And he named the bay where the springs poured into Inda Bay, because it pours into the bay and then goes into Red Creek and then the Pascagoula and then the Gulf of Mexico.
So what makes spring water spring water? I mean, I know that sounds like kind of a stupid question, but is a stupid question. I don't know.
Nope, there are no stupid questions. So okay. The spring, it's actually multiple springs that are coming out of a hillside here, and they flow out at about 3,800 gallons a minute. They come to the surface by themselves. They're not pumped. And they have been flowing for, they estimate, over 10,000 years. I actually had archaeologists come and dig and found artifacts dating back that long. So a natural spring is water that comes to the surface without any effort or man-made intervention.
And it's as clean as any water that you're going to come across, right?
Yes. It's a bold statement, but this water is the purest on the market, and we've had it tested over 29 years. We've had it tested multiple times, and its purity ranges from 17 to 21. That's the sediment in it. So just to give you an idea, if you could think of the purest water you could think of, and you went on their website and looked at what theirs is, some of them are 150, 220. This one is never tested over 21. It only has essential minerals in it. And that's why it hydrates you so well, because you have to have electrolytes or minerals when you drink water for your body to be able to absorb that water.
That is interesting, because normally the water that I am drinking is clouded by Crown Royal. but that's another story entirely, Tracy. Hey, it's one thing to have that kind of water on your property, but it's another thing to say, hey, let's let's bottle this and let's go into business. So tell us how the business got started and how you guys decided to get into the business.
So my husband and I bought this property about 10 years ago from his dad. And we tell the story, and since you cracked that joke, I'll crack the joke, that we were smoking crack one night and decided, hey, why don't we bottle water? And so that was about 5 years ago. In 2019, we started the process of getting the water certified, because it is a process. And then we said, if you could pick a time in the history of our lives, it would be the absolute worst time to go into business. We did it through COVID and the supply chain fails and all of those issues. But finally, in March of 2023, we were actually in production. So we've been in production a little over a year now. And it's been a challenging quest, but we're excited. We're excited about being able to bring this water to our community, our area, our state. And it's just one of those things that if you will just give it a try, you will taste the difference, and you'll see why Inda Bay is the way to go.
Inda Bay spring water is available now at different outlets around the state, Tracy, right? Where can people get Inda Bay spring water?
So if in the Hattiesburg area, we are at the corner markets, and we're at Walmart in Petal right now. And hopefully we're coming to even more stores as we gain traction and people try the water and want the water and ask their managers of the stores that they shop at to stock it.
In fact, you guys are so particular about making sure that the water is so unaffected that even the containers they come in, you're real particular about, yes?
Yes, absolutely. This water never touches air. We have access at the spring. It's pumped in straight into the bottle. The bottles are recycled, and they are recyclable. So we're trying to have be very environmentally aware and have a very small footprint. We also have a very thick bottle, substantial bottle, so you don't have a bottle that collapses. Our labels don't fall off. It's truly a premium packaging.
And it's, again, tell us where we can find them in the Hattiesburg area and surrounding areas real quickly.
Corner Markets and Petal, Walmart right now.
All right. Tracy Batson from Inda Bay Springwater out of the Wiggins, Mississippi area. Is that right, Tracy?
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for coming on the program today. Anything that would even make my Crown Royal taste better.
Yes. It is a great additive.
All right. Thanks so much, Tracy.
All right. Take care.
All right. Tracy Batson with Inda Bay Spring Water. Again, tomorrow on the show, Mike Frazier with JUCO Weekly and former Southern Miss pitching great Nick Sandlin. For Dima Mixon, producer, engineer Jeremy Graves, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss
to the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.